This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Lots to talk about on the health front. Program's Intelligent Medicine, that means the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We talk diet, we talk supplements, we talk lifestyle, we talk about complicated medical interventions, many of which are excessively expensive and over the top. 877-726-8255 is our number. That's 877-726-TALK, and you can call this hour or next, or you can call actually 24/7, and you can record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions later in the program. We've got lots to talk about today. I've been delving into the medical journals and looking at articles in the popular press, and among the stories this week, BPA levels in humans dramatically underestimated. When you grab one of those receipts at the Duane Reade or at the Stop and Shop, it may be giving you a dose of poison. We'll find out more about that in just a moment. Also, the secret as to why some people on cruise ships get 4-plus sick with norovirus and other people seem to be resistant. Also, Manuka honey could revolutionize our approach to wound care. 877-726-8255 is our number. Let's start with some live calls. Let's talk to Mike in Philadelphia. How you doing, Mike?
Dr. Hoffman, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Excellent. So I would like to know, since most people do not follow a ketogenic or low-carb diet, is the conventional medical wisdom about avoiding saturated fat and cholesterol good, since it prevents the carbs from glycating or oxidizing the LDLs, which make it really dangerous? And specifically, would your smoothie, since it's a high-carb food item, should be a high-fat yogurt or low-fat yogurt?
Okay, well, you know, it's an interesting question. And it has to do with the notion that if you cut carbs, even though you're having plenty of cholesterol and saturated fat, you're going to lose weight, you're going to improve your lipid profile, you're going to reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes. That's the basis of the Banting diet, which was in the 19th century, picked up later and popularized by Atkins. And now a lot of research is suggesting that people with type 2 diabetes and obesity would do better to cut the carbs and have virtually unlimited even saturated fat. Saturated fat's been so demonized that if you go to the American Heart Association website, they say, well, eat low-fat dairy, substitute healthy oils. I'm putting those in quotation marks, from soy, corn oil, safflower oil for butter. Get rid of the butter because the saturated fat is supposedly the artery-clogging fat. Well, that's an outmoded shibboleth that needs to go. But your point is well taken. I think what you're suggesting is that Americans err on the side of both. They have too much in the way of carbs, and they have too much in the way of saturated fat, and therein lies danger. If you're going to have, if you're going to listen to the message that you can eat plenty of cholesterol and saturated fat, but at the same time you don't reduce your carbs, you have lots and lots of sugar and soda, and refined grains and pizza with made with flour and dough, then you're going to be in trouble because the excessive carbs, are going to cause a lot of weight gain. So you can't really have it both ways. You can't say, well, let's exonerate saturated fats and have plenty of those. Don't worry about red meat, and don't cut the skin off your chicken. But at the same time, you can have plenty of soda and candy and cake and things like that. That's trouble. So when it comes to your smoothie, it depends on the context. If you're going to have a smoothie in the context of a low carb diet, I recommend full fat yogurt. And yeah, I recommend coconut oil and or flaxseed oil in your smoothie. You can put some of that in, and you'll put in fat. You know, that's the principle behind what's called bulletproof coffee, where you add butter or ghee to your coffee or coconut oil, as long as you don't add sugar to it. You're getting the fat, you're going to get some satiety, and therefore you're going to eat less carbs later, and that's going to be to your benefit. So more and more studies are demolishing the association between saturated fat and cardiovascular disease, especially if you keep your carbs to a minimum. So I think that that's addressing your question. Is that helpful, Mike, or am I missing the point?
No, you got the point, but it all hinges on the term, what is low? So for me, I don't eat breakfast. I just eat twice a day, intermittent
fasting. Which is great. We're going to talk a little bit about TRF, time-restricted feeding, later in the program. So that's on cue.
Right. Good. But I'm certainly not ketogenic, and I do eat carbs with every meal. So, and since most people certainly are by no means ketogenic, and most people are not low carb, all these years I've been trash talking the American Heart Association, with my coconut oil, talking points and all that. But maybe they were right all along because most people are not low carb. Mm-hmm. Maybe their advice is good. And since I am eating carbs with lunch and dinner, and a smoothie by definition is not a low carb food item. It's got sugar and this fruit sugar and all that. Maybe I should be having a low fat yogurt in the smoothie.
Yeah, I get your point. I think what you're talking about is you're talking about the difference between optimization and what's called harm reduction. And I think that the American Heart Association and official public outlets, the USDA with their dietary pyramid, they're saying Americans can't really rigorously follow a low-carb diet. Besides, we'd be dissing a whole element of our food industry by telling people to avoid grains. We can't really do that. That's not politically correct, and it would trash our food economy. So what we'll do is we will do some harm reduction. We'll tell people, have less calories by having low-fat yogurt, and, have less calories when you go for a cheese, go for the low-fat kind. And therefore, maybe there'll be some benefit, there'll be less overall calorie intake. But, hey, Mike, it's not working overall, because messaging that way, the net result of doing that for the last 3 or 4 decades has been that Americans are getting fatter. We look at statistics that show that more Americans are dying. Longevity is not increasing. It's plateaued or it's decreasing. And we're seeing an epidemic of metabolic syndrome and diabetes. So that's why I side with the people who say, watch your carbs. Restrict your, you may not require that. I don't restrict my carbs dramatically. I am, someone who is very physically active. I also genetically am not prone to cardiovascular disease. I'm pretty lean. I don't have to lose weight. So, I include carbs, but I'm selective about my carbs. I have relatively low glycemic carbs. But that's not for everyone. Some people, my patients who are overweight and diabetic, they can't and are not able to exercise. Perhaps they've got an injury or they haven't had been lifelong exercisers. They're just not able to expend the amount of caloric output that I'm able to do in my late 60s. These are people who really need to restrict their carbs. So it all depends. Different strokes for different folks. I think you're on the right track, though.
Guideline. How much carbs? Is there 150 grams a day, 100 grams a day? What's the general guideline for how much carbs?
There is no general guideline, because if you are a Ironman triathlete, you're going to need an enormous amount of carbohydrates to sustain that high level of activity. On the other hand, if you're sedentary and you've got hip and knee injuries and you can't exercise, you got a cardiovascular condition, you're diabetic, you can really turn things around. You can go from a hemoglobin A1C that's sky high to normalizing your blood glucose with a very low carb diet. So there's not, you know, I think what you're hung up on is there a one size fits all? There is not a one size fits all. It depends on your status. Okay. I gotta leave it at that. Thanks for your call. 877-726-8255. That's our number. For questions, we're live. We're here. You may be out shopping. You may be out driving. You may be in the mall, but we're here live pumping out information about the latest in health findings. Coming up, we're going to take more calls. Also looking at levels of something called bisphenol A. The new study suggests that they were dramatically underestimated, and that means trouble for most Americans who've got BPA in their blood, urine, breast milk, and so on. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255. That story on bisphenol A coming up. We've dramatically underestimated the amount of bisphenol A that's in our bodies. But before we do that, let's take a call from Doug in Manhattan. How are you, Doug?
I'm very well, doctor. I have an aspirin question. Yep. You know, we all hear about taking low-dose aspirin as a preventive after someone has had a heart attack or a stroke. Or a friend of mine, on his own, has been taking the standard 325-milligram aspirin for several years. Are there any long-term effects of this?
Oh, yeah, there would be, and particularly concerning are the gastrointestinal effects of it. And apropos of that, here's a story from a couple of months ago. Canadians told to stop taking aspirin to prevent first heart attack stroke. Canadian family physicians warned of the potential harm of the daily dose outweighs the potential benefits. They reviewed 3 large randomized placebo-controlled studies published in 2018 that showed that the risk of major internal bleeding associated with taking an aspirin a day is higher than any preventive benefits. Now, I'm going to qualify that by saying that this applies to people who've not had a heart attack or a stroke or have angina, very clogged arteries. They're sometimes prescribed aspirin because they're at risk for a subsequent event and use aspirin as a cheap, readily available blood thinner. Now there's a whole raft of other expensive pharmaceutical blood thinners besides Coumadin, There's a bunch of new ones. But aspirin is still a standby for people who have demonstrable cardiovascular risk, not just, you know, a little high cholesterol or maybe, your dad died of a heart attack at 60. They don't just put everybody on aspirin for prevention. And this has been a very successful marketing campaign by the makers of aspirin to encourage people to take aspirin for prevention. But it's turned out to be a big fail because there's so little preventive value and there's such a high risk of a bleeding ulcer, major internal bleeds where the patients need hospitalization, maybe a blood transfusion. So these are very, very consequential side effects. Short of that, we can sometimes see people who take a daily aspirin, even a so-called low-dose aspirin, 81 milligrams. Maybe they're not bleeding. Maybe they don't have, serious, rectal blood flow, you know, which is the sign of an obvious catastrophic bleed. But they might be slightly anemic. They might have low iron when you see them. And you wonder, you know, maybe they've got just a very, very slow seepage of iron from their stomach or their gastrointestinal tract that ultimately renders them low iron. So your friend is misguided and really needs to check in with a doctor to see if that recommendation is correct. I mean, yeah, if he's got major cardiovascular risk, yeah, maybe. But for general prevention, I wouldn't do it.
I thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Doug, for that call. All right. This story comes to us from The Lancet, and it provides the first evidence that measurements relied upon by regulatory agencies, including the FDA, for measuring BPA levels dramatically underestimate the problem. Now, what's BPA? Well, BPA can be found in a wide range of plastics, including food and drink containers. Now they're getting rid of BPA, but they're substituting other similar compounds that may be even worse, like BPS. BPA is on all those receipts that they hand you. You go to the supermarket, you go to the drugstore, they give you a receipt. I say no thank you. I don't want to handle the receipt. I feel sorry for the gal or the guy at the cash register because they're handling receipts all day long if they're not wearing gloves. Fetal exposure to BPA has been linked to problems with growth, metabolism, behavior, fertility, and even cancer risk. And now these researchers have looked at a new way to assess levels of BPA. And what they found is much higher levels of BPA using what's called a direct method, as much as 44 times the average reported by government surveys. So what they're saying is we're missing the boat on our countrywide problem of BPA exposure. It's much worse than we thought, and it is a hormone disruptor, big time. Even in tiny amounts, the levels that are present in our blood, our urine, our breast milk, our cells, in placentas, is much higher than we once thought. We'll talk about possible solutions for that in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients, Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines the unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstores, supermarkets, and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. We're talking about BPA, bisphenol A, and a lot of companies are abandoning BPA. It used to be a soup can liner. Now you can get BPA-free cans, but God knows what they're using to line the cans to make the food not stick to the side of the can or the metal leach into the food products. These chemicals are gender benders and hormone disruptors. And so ABC News here in New York reports that the city council, New York City lawmakers, are considering cracking down on paper receipts. And, you know, usually the city council is just a bunch of meddlesome do-nothings. They come up with all kinds of crazy legislation. It's a lot of stuff that's just annoying. But in this case, I support them. New York City lawmakers may ban paper receipts coated with the chemical BPA and require retailers to offer emailed receipts instead of paper ones. That makes sense because it's more energy efficient and also just putting less BPA out in the environment. We're exposed to enough of it, according to a study that I shared with you prior to the break. City Council announced last week they will hold hearings on a package of bills aimed at cracking down on paper receipts. Studies have determined that the chemicals could harm the female reproductive system at high levels. So I did a little research, and I came up with this possible antidote to BPA toxicity. The study is entitled Ginger Extract Ameliorates Bisphenol A Induced Disruption in Thyroid Hormone Synthesis and Metabolism. Boy, how many patients do I see who have problems with their thyroids? What's going on with that? Is it natural for a 35-year-old woman to require thyroid medication because their thyroid is kaput? Well, maybe. And it's hard to put our finger on it because there's so many things out there, so many hormone disruptors and environmental toxins. Maybe it's about the BPA. So in this experiment, they investigated the possible antioxidant protective effects of ginger extract against BPA-induced thyroid injury in male rats. You see, they can actually give BPA to male rats and mess up their thyroids. But when they give them ginger, they had some protection. They say these biochemical and histological alterations, histological means you examine the thyroid under a microscope, these alterations were significantly alleviated with ginger administration when BPA was given to these rats. So they say ginger extract is a potent antioxidant that can effectively protect against BPA-induced thyroid oxidative damage. Very cool. This item has to do with protection against colds and flus. The word isn't out yet on whether this year's vaccine is going to be at least partially protective or a bust like it was last year, estimated anywhere from 15 to 25% effectiveness against the flu. But you can protect yourself by taking black elderberry, according to a meta-analysis that was conducted on four randomized controlled trials that examined the effect of Sambucus nigra, which is black elderberry, on cold or flu symptoms. And what they found was that black elderberry significantly reduced upper respiratory symptoms with a large effect size. It may work in part by exerting a direct antiviral effect. When they do this in test tube studies, extracts of black elderberry inhibited the replication of influenza virus types A and B and decreased the infectivity of human influenza virus H1N1. So they're really, it's not just, folkloric tales, old wives' tales. Black elderberry actually can be effective for reducing the severity of colds and flus. And here's something else that I want to share with you. You're looking to give your immune system a boost. Well, there's a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation. It helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory. It also may have good effects on eye health. And it also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. And yeah, you need protection this cold and flu season. Okay, a lot of once the holidays are over, you're going to go cruising, or maybe you're going to go somewhere south of the border. But when you go to these places, pretty often, you're susceptible to diarrheal diseases. Montezuma's Revenge, also known as gastroenteritis, norovirus. Lots of cruise ships, they've really taken a hit because people are afraid to go on cruise ships because they're big floating cities, 5,000 people and more confined on a cruise ship can allow norovirus to spread like wildfire. But the paradoxical thing is that some people get sick and some people resistant. Same bug. Some people get terrible diarrhea. Other people are going, hey, pass the pâté de foie. Give me some more deviled egg salad. What's up with that? Well, I've been saying this for a long time, that it's not about the virulence of the virus. It's about the susceptibility of the individual. And what makes individuals more susceptible to gastrointestinal viruses? Taking acid-blocking medications. Now, what percentage of people who are cruising are taking these medications? I would say a very high double-digit percentage, 20, 30, 40% of people chronically take Acifex, Propulsid, Nexium, Prevacid. These medications are among the most commonly prescribed, and they're prescribed for a lifetime. Some people have what's called Barrett's esophagus. They're told, no, you got to take it for the rest of your life. So this study is from the University of the Sorbonne University in Paris, says that PPIs are linked to acute gastroenteritis, especially the winter months. They say that gastroenteritis peaks in the winter caused by infections with enteric viruses. And what they found is that individuals who have had PPIs in recent months or are currently taking them are at much higher risk of developing gastroenteritis than people who are not. So they say this is yet another reason to reexamine unnecessary and non-evidence-based indications for proton pump inhibitor therapy. Powerful acid blockers like these tend to make the gastrointestinal tract, the GI tract, more vulnerable to infections because the acid in your stomach actually protects you from viruses and bacteria and neutralizes them before they penetrate to your lower GI tract. And when you kill the acid, you render yourself more vulnerable to infection. They write, quote, as regions head into enteric viral infection season, this would be an opportune time to reassess the ongoing need for PPI therapy in patients, especially older adults, and potentially de-prescribe. So if a cruise is on the agenda, or a trip to Mexico or parts south where these infections tend to occur, and you want to sample some of the local fare without worry of developing Montezuma's revenge, consider talking to your doctor about tapering your PPI medication before you get on the ship. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Many of us wonder sometimes what's going on with our brains, like when we can't recall a name that should be totally familiar to us or forget why we went into the kitchen. These worries take on a little more weight as we grow older. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to slow cognitive decline and enhance memory and mental performance. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Brain Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics online, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers nationwide today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here on a beautiful weekend. I'm feeling great. I hope you are as well. 877-726-8255 is our number. Let's talk to Chris in Wisconsin. How you doing? Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Well, actually, afternoon out here. Maybe out where you are, a different time zone, but yeah.
It's getting close. Okay. I was watching the public broadcasting station, and they had a physician on there talking about, I don't know, this Dr. Wyman. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't heard of him. No.
I guess the subject is, what should I eat?
Mm-hmm.
And primarily, he spoke badly about dairy products in general, especially milk. Now, I'm 62 years old, and I use fat-free skim milk. He said, that's probably the worst because you're probably not getting filled up enough, and it'll just make you eat more.
Right. Yeah, well, there's something to be said for that because now studies are exonerating high-fat dairy, and at least high-fat dairy provides you with some satiety so you don't end up eating cookies and cake and, you know, lots and lots of carbohydrates. So, you know, the notion is stock up on protein and fat, and you won't crave carbs. And, you know, a lot of study, the conventional recommendations are, you know, have low-fat dairy. I mean, you still go to the American Heart Association website, and they have this anachronistic information about, yeah, substitute high-fat dairy for low-fat dairy, or, you know, better yet, use corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, etc. But, hey, Chris, you're from Wisconsin. What are you, trying to sabotage the local economy? What's up with you, man?
No. Never. And I guess I had another quick question, if you have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be going to the doctor in a couple of weeks for a physical. Like I said, I'm 62, and I'm on some medicines and so forth. And I was just wondering, can you recommend a good, like, liver cleanse? Is there such a thing? Or vitamins for liver protection?
Yeah, before we get to that, though, let's talk about, you know, the dairy question. You know, is dairy okay, or is dairy problematic? And there's several reasons to be concerned about dairy. You know, first of all, I mean, there's this notion, like, from the paleo diet concept that adults really don't need dairy. I mean, dairy was designed to be obtained from the human female breast, and after that, you don't really need dairy. So it's unnatural. It's thought to be an unnatural imposition. Dairy, however, has been consumed by many societies for, 8,000-10,000 years, and perhaps the human digestive system has adapted to dairy. But for some people, dairy is a relatively recent introduction. That's why there's a lot of lactose intolerance. People don't tolerate dairy beyond a certain age. There's a concern about, what's in the dairy. You know, maybe dairy really isn't that bad for you. But when dairy is pasteurized and homogenized and cows are fed bovine growth hormone to increase their milk production, and there's lots and lots of herbicides and pesticides that are found in the fodder that the animals eat and that concentrates in the dairy, and that so therefore maybe dairy isn't so great to have. However, you know, I read last week a big study to our listening audience on the program that looks at the impact of dairy consumption on cardiovascular disease and cancer, the two biggest reasons why people die in America and across the world. And the studies did not show a robust, harmful effect of dairy. The effect of dairy was relatively neutral, and there may even be some protective effect of cheese products because they contain vitamin K. They're fermented, and the vitamin K2, MK7 is the type that we recommend as a supplement, has a anti-arteriosclerosis effect and maybe may enhance bone density as well. There you have it. Different strokes for different folks. I don't think dairy is that problematic. These broad-based statements like don't eat any dairy. Dairy is bad. It's unnatural. Doesn't apply to broad segments of the population. I consume minimal amounts of dairy because I have allergies. Allergies is another thing. People who have a lot of nasal congestion or asthma or form mucus or have skin problems or chronic migraines, they often benefit from elimination of dairy. Some people with gastrointestinal problems do better without dairy, but it's a more on a trial and error basis that you have to discover that. Because the allergy tests sometimes miss the boat on that. Now, when it comes to, you got a second question, what do you do when you're going to go on a lot of medication? Do you take a liver supplement? Well, I don't recommend you take a liver supplement. You go to the health food store, they say, well, take milk thistle or silymarin. It helps to detoxify you when you're taking a lot of medications. It helps support liver function. Well, the problem with these things like milk thistle and silymarin is they may alter the metabolism of your drugs. They may speed up the elimination because they perceive, milk thistle perceives medications like toxins that may reduce the efficacy of the medication, and that may not be in your interest. So I would, have to go through all your medications on an individual basis, decide what is it that you should take and shouldn't take to protect your liver. Thanks for that call. Appreciate it very much. Have a great holiday, by the way, coming up. We're going to start wishing people happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas. All right, Manuka is some. I use Manuka a lot for my patients, for myself, for family members. It's great for skin inflammations. You got any kind of, minor injury, skin inflammation, a rash, if a kid's got diaper rash, if you have rectal itching or burning, Manuka honey, very beneficial. And now researchers are using it to solve a problem, big problem in medicine, meshes that are used for hernias, meshes that are used for uterine suspension. If you've got a dropped bladder or a uterine prolapse, they want to put a mesh inside. The problem is these meshes develop biofilms that attract bacteria and create terrible infections inside of you. So what they're trying to do here, this is research at Newcastle University in the United Kingdom. They're sandwiching nano layers of Manuka honey between layers of polymer, showing that it's possible to create a coating on the mesh, which inhibits bacteria for up to 3 weeks as the honey is slowly released. Fascinating application of a traditional remedy. Manuka honey from New Zealand can be extremely potent as an antibacterial. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. Make sure you check out our website at drhoffman.com for more information. And hang around for another hour because we've got lots more information to share with you. More phone calls, 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine.